Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you. Thank you.
And if you look in Palmurana, you'll find these prayers. And they're very famous because Satyavrata Muni, when he compiled these prayers, which is known as the Damodara Ashtagam, the eight verses referring to Lord Damodara, Krishna, when he was tied down to the mortar by Mother Yashoda, the prayers have become, they are very popular and sung in this particular month of Kartik, where this past, when this pastime happened. So we'll try to sing that song today. It is page 93 in the songbook. Page 93 in the songbook.
Yugam namo hume prayugmam சதம்மம் திரேகாந்தகங்கை திரதேவ தாமோதர பக்தி பதம் சதம்பம் திரேகாந்தகங்கை திரதேவ தாமோதர பக்தி பதம் தாமோதரம் பக்திபதம் திருதை சொல்லிலாபிரானந்த கங்கை சுகோஷம் நிமஜந்த மாக்கியாபயந்தம்
ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವೃತಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಹರಿಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಿ ಜಯಂ ನಿತ್ಯಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟೋಮ ಶುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವೃತಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹರ್ಷೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಅನಂತಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕಿ ರಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಹರದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಿ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪ ಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಕುಂಡ ಗಿರಿಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಮಾಯಪುರ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ ಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಗೋ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Shubhadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhagare. Shri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamini. Namaste Saraswati Om Gauravani Pracharini. Namo Shesha Shunyavani Pashyanti Yashadharini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya. Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಾಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾದಿಂ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂದಿಜಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುಂ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಾಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪದಂ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾಂ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗಲ್ಪದೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂದ ರಾಧಾ ಕಾಂದ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೇ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಾಂಚಕಲ್ಪದರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಮರಾಧಿಯಾಯ ನಮಃ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಓಂ ಪಾರ್ಥಾಯ ಪ್ರತಿಬೋಧಿತಾಂ ಭಗವತಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣೇನ ಸ್ವಯಂ ವ್ಯಾಸೇನ ಗ್ರಥಿತಾಂ ಪುರಾಣ ಮುನಿನಾಂ ಮಧ್ಯೇ ಮಹಾಭಾರತಂ ಅದ್ವೈತಾಮೃತವರ್ಷಿಣೀಂ ಭಗವತೀಂ ಅಷ್ಟಾದಶಾಧ್ಯಾಯಿನೀಂ ಅಂಬತ್ವಾಂ ಅನುಸಂಧದಾಮಿ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತೇ ಭವದ್ವೇಷಿಣೀಂ ನಮೋಸ್ತು ದೇ ವ್ಯಾಸ ವಿಶಾಲ ಬುದ್ಧೇ ಫುಲ್ಲಾರವಿಂದಾಯದ ಪತ್ರನೇತ್ರ ಯೇನ ತ್ವಯಾ ಭಾರತ ತೈಲಪೂರ್ಣ ಪ್ರಜ್ವಾಲಿತೋ ಜ್ಞಾನಮಯ ಪ್ರದೀಪಾಂ ಪ್ರಪನ್ನ ಪಾರಿಜಾತಾಯ ತೋತ್ರವೇತ್ರೈಕ ಬಾಣಯೇ ಜ್ಞಾನಮುದ್ರಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಗೀತಾಮೃತ ದುಹೇ ನಮಃ ಸರ್ವೋ ಮನುಷ್ಯೋ ಗಾವೋ ದುಗ್ಧ ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದನ ಪಾರ್ಥೋ ವತ್ಸ ಸುಧೀರ್ಭೋಕ್ತ ದುಗ್ಧಂ ಗೀತಾಮೃತಂ ಮಹಲ್ ವಸುದೇವ ಸುಧಂ ದೇವಂ ಕಂಸಜಾನೂರಮರ್ದನಂ ದೇವಗೀ ಪರಮಾನಂದಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ವಂದೇ ಜಗಲ್ಗುರುಂ ಭೀಷ್ಮದ್ರೋಣತಡಾ ಜಯದ್ರತ ಜಲ ಗಾಂಧಾರ ನೀಲೋಲ್ಪಲ ಶಲ್ಯಗ್ರಾಹವತಿ ಕೃಪೇಣ ವಹನಿ ಕರ್ಣೇನ ವೇಲಾಕುಲಾಂ ಅಶ್ವಥಾಮಾ ವಿಕರ್ಣ ಘೋರ ಮಹರ ದುರ್ಯೋಧನಾವರ್ತಿನಿ ಸೋತೀರ್ಣ ಖಲು ಪಾಂಡವೈ ರಣನದಿ ಕೈವರ್ತಕ ಕೇಶವಾಂ ಪಾರಾಶರ್ಯವಜ ಸರೋಜಮಲಂ ಗೀತಾರ್ಥಗಂಧೋಲ್ಕಟಂ ನಾನಾಖ್ಯಾನಕ ಕೇಸರಂ ಹರಿಕಥಾ ಸಂಬೋಧನಾಭೂದಿತಂ ಲೋಕೈ ಸಜ್ಜನ ಶಲ್ಪದೈರಹರಃ ಪೇವೀಯಮಾನಂ ಮುದಾ ಭೂಯಾಲ್ ಭಾರತ ಪಂಕಜ ಕಲಿಮಲ ಪ್ರಧ್ವಂಸಿನ ಶ್ರೇಯಸೇ ಮೂಗಂ ಕರೋದಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ பங்கும் லங்கயதே கிரிம் எல் கிருபாதமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம் யப்ரஹ்மா வருணேந்திர ருத்ரமருதஸ்த்வன் வந்தி திவ்யைஸ்தவை வேதை சாங்கபதை க்ரமோபனிஷதேர் காயந்தியம் சமகாஹ தியானாவஸ்தித தத்கதேன மனசா பஷ்யந்தியம் யோகினோ யஸ்யாந்தம் ந விது சுராசுரகணை தேவாய தஸ்மை நம ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ணாய நம. So, we were reading from Bhagavad Gita last Sunday, chapter 8, and the verse was again number 8. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasananya gaminam paramam purusham divyam yadi vartanu chindayan. That is what we were discussing. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasananya gaminam. Krishna says that a person who wants to advance in spiritual path, whether it is any yoga system, it does not matter, jnana yogam, bhakti yogam or karma yogam or jnana yogam, wherever it is, certain requirements Krishna has put forward. One is that abhyasa yoga yuktena chedasananya gaminam, without deviation from the path, being sticking to the path very rigorously, rigidly, and continuously practicing the process that is necessary. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chedasananya gaminam paramam purusham divyam yadi parthanu chindayin. And he should think about me, Krishna says, without any restriction, without any change of heart, continuously yadi parthanu chindayin paramam purusham divyam, who is the supreme personality, Krishna himself. One should meditate on that Krishna's form. This is required. This is what Krishna is saying here in the chapter of Dhyana Yoga. This particular chapter, this chapter of the 8th chapter, Krishna talks about the process of the Akshar Brahma Yoga, or the, what is known as the letter Om, which is known as Aksharam. Akshar Brahma, the impersonal, is way of worship of the Supreme Lord. So Akshar Brahma Yoga is discussed here, although it is the philosophy more closer to the impersonalism, still it is explained there that one should meditate on the form of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chedasana anya gaminam paramam purusham divyam yadi parthanu chindayan. There are many, many things to understand from Bhagavad Gita. One who comes to spiritual life through the process of Bhagavad Gita, one has to be aware of the depth of knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita. It is something we wonder when we read the Bhagavad Gita that we have understood everything. But if you read the introduction of Bhagavad Gita itself, you will see there that when this book was compiled, when this Bhagavad Gita was compiled by Vedavyasa Maharshi in Mahabharatam, who has given the instructions, or not the instructions, who has actually the person behind it? It is Vedavyasa Maharshi's father himself, Parashara. Parashara Maharshi was actually responsible for Vedavyasa Maharshi to be born in this world. If you look in Mahabharatam, you will find the history of Vedavyasa. Vedavyasa was born as the son of Satyavati Devi. Satyavati Devi was actually the daughter of a fisherman. So they used to cross Yamuna river, and Satyavati and her father, their business was to take people from one side of the river to the other side by the boat. They used to carry the passengers from one side to the another. This is what they did, Satyavati Devi and her father. And it so happened that once Parashara Maharshi, which was Vedavyasa Maharshi's father, came there and he wanted to cross the river. Somehow or the other, it so happened there was no one else to take him, and Satyavati's father was also not in a position to take the sage to the other side. Parashara Maharshi asked Satyavati's father if Satyavati could take him to the other side of the river. So Satyavati took Parashara Maharshi in the boat to the other side. While going to the other side of the river, meanwhile Parashara Maharshi got attracted to Satyavati Devi and wanted to have a son from her. And from that relationship, Vedavyasa Maharshi was born. So we may wonder that how such a thing could happen, that Vedavyasa Maharshi was born from a relationship like Parashara Maharshi and Satyavati, who was a fisherwoman. Parashara Maharshi was a great sage. Satyavati Devi was an ordinary fisherwoman. And from this relationship, Krishna has appeared as the son of Parashara, as Vedavyas. Parashara was well known even before, who wrote Vishnupuranam. Vishnupuranam is the has been the one of the most Satvika Puranam, similar to Srimad Bhagavatam. And this Parashara Maharshi fell into a relationship with Satyavati Devi. You may wonder why these things have happened. The reason for that is, when personalities like Parashara Maharshi, when they have a relationship, his resolve, or what is known as Sankalpam, was this, that a child, if it's born from Satyavati, from me, that child will be of great asset to this whole world, to the whole creation. That was their capacity, that they could do such a thing. That when they have a relationship with someone, if the personality like Parashara Maharshi fix their mind to have a son who will be a great personality, who will do something substantially good for the whole creation, and the child will automatically become like that. Just see the power of their sangalpam or resolve in their mind. It's just to show that. That is why it is explained like that. That Parashara Maharshi was not an ordinary personality. His position was such that simply by desiring something, he could make sure that it will happen. Has the modern science succeeded in this yet? This is the question we have to ask. That someone who could make a decision and say that if a child is born from this relationship, that child will be a great personality who could create such literature like Mahabharatam, Srimad Bhagavatam and so many other valuable Puranas. How could someone do like that? It was the power of Parashara Maharshi Sankalpam. That is why Parashara Maharshi is given that noble possession. We should not from a mundane level try to judge these things because of their greatness. They are such great personalities, especially Parashara, great sage Parashara. Parashara decided to have a son who will create such literature like Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharatam. So from there, we come through this Srimad Bhagavad Gita, you will find that Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Bhagavad Gita and incorporated that into Mahabharatam for our benefit. So we could, while reading Mahabharatam, understand the significance of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is considered Sarvopanishado Gavo Dugdha Gopala Nandana Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gitamrudam Mahal. All the Upanishads, if you churn all the Upanishads and take the essence from that, all Upanishads together are considered to be the cow. Together they are considered to be the cow. And Dugdha Gopala Nandana, Gopala Nandana, Krishna is actually the milkman. He is milking this cow of Upanishads. In other words, Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, is what it is that Upanishads is considered to be a cow and Krishna is the milkman. He is actually milking the cow. Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta. Partha, Arjuna, is the calf which Krishna is using to drink that milk, to get the mother to release the milk freely. So using Arjuna as the calf, Krishna is milking the cow of Upanishads. Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gita Amrutam Mahal. The nectar of this milk which is coming from that milking, the cow of Upanishads, is what is Bhagavad Gita. So such a great literature Bhagavad Gita is in the Mahabharatam. And the more we understand Bhagavad Gita, we understand what spiritual life means. What spiritual life means. Compared to any other scripture in this world, what is that distinguishes Bhagavad Gita from everyone else? You can make this decision yourself, because I can only bring these points up, but in your own mind you can compare it and see why Bhagavad Gita is so different from others. In all the other scriptures in this world, you will notice one thing. It's all directed towards a society, directed towards the group of people in different parts of the world. And in different ways it presents to you the nature of the Supreme Lord, or it tells you in different ways, it presents to you what actually to be done in religious life, in spiritual life. This is how they are all presented. But what is the difference in Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is not telling you to go and do that. Bhagavad Gita is saying to you, you find out what you are first. When you do not know what you are, where is the question of searching for something else what you don't even know? You exist within this body, in the made of 5 material elements, and 3 subtle elements, namely mind, intelligence and false ego. earth, water, air, ether and fire. So the five material elements, three subtle elements together constitute this material body. And within that you are situated. So Krishna is saying here to Arjuna that unless you understand yourself, what you are, first of all, that is the search to start with. And if you have understood yourself, you have understood everything. Then you don't have to know any more further after that. It is in this way Krishna is taking Arjuna step by step from first chapter to the last chapter, bringing him through this 18 chapters and making him realize who he is, first of all. When we do not know what we are, what are we doing in trying to change this world? We go out trying to tell others this, that and the other, when we don't know ourselves what we are. This is our position. So Krishna's words are such that knowledge what is required to understand oneself, what is known as the self-realization, that is a process coming through Bhagavad Gita first. And in that process of understanding oneself, one will understand what is Krishna. What's our relationship with Krishna? All these things will be known to the personality or the sadhaka who is following that process. So this is the difference between Bhagavad Gita and all the rest of the world. Nowhere else you will find this approach what Krishna has taken. Krishna knew that nasade vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate sadha ubayor abhidrishtvan stanyastattva darshibhi. In the beginning itself Krishna says this, that what is existing, you cannot destroy it. And what does not exist, you cannot create it. We have all the misunderstanding starts from this particular verse in the second chapter. Our understanding is that in this world, we can do so many things. We can alter the situation. We can change the direction in the way the world is going on. We can manipulate many, many things and get the way things wanted to happen in our own way. But have you any times thought about this, that in this world, so many things are established by so many people, but it doesn't last very long. It changes. It's really changed. And many, this shows that that nasade vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sada. Krishna is saying there that what you are actually is spirit. And that is part and parcel of me. And that is the reality. And that is the only truth. Nothing else is the truth. Everything else what you are trying to do, ubayor abhidrishtvanem staneyo tattva darshibhim. The two things that is true, absolutely true in this world is, one, we as a living entities, the spirit soul, that is the truth, Krishna says. Krishna is the truth, we are also a truth. The living entity is a truth. And what is not truth, Krishna says, is rest of it, all. The rest, everything is not truth, Krishna says. That may appear to be truth to us, and we try to play with it whole life in different ways, but ultimately everyone fails at the end. So therefore, tattva darshibhi, one who has seen the truth, he will not follow behind, or he will not go behind what is not permanent. This is Krishna's point. What is not permanent, what is the point in chasing that? This is his logic. Krishna's logic is like that. Sthanayor tattva darshibhi, they will not go after something which is not permanent. No, so this understanding was very strongly in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. You will see this in the very second chapter. Krishna is stressing this point so that people understand what they are looking for. And if the goal is defined clearly, from the beginning itself, the goal is defined. Goal is more important than the process. Unless we understand the goal, where is the question? We won't get there. If you don't have clear goal in your own mind, what are we aiming at the end? Where are we going? And that goal is defined in the Bhagavad Gita like this. So, in order to fix the mind of a person who wants to come to spiritual life, Krishna has given him a very clear-cut understanding of what is real and what's not real. What is permanent and what is temporary. What is absolute and what is not absolute. So, like this, the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita itself, Krishna makes that discrimination and puts it forward to Arjuna. Understand this, Arjuna, that the reality is only this, nothing else is real. Nasade vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sada, ubayor abhidrishtvanastaneyo tattva darshibhi. And this is confirmed by all the great sages, Krishna says. Krishna just doesn't say like that. Krishna also uses the authority of the great personalities. That is how Krishna speaks. Krishna takes the authority of the great sages, because these are the knowledge from the Upanishads which were revealed to them through the sages. So after that you will find in Bhagavad Gita that the knowledge that has been spoken throughout is the absolute type of knowledge. Why it is called absolute knowledge is that the everything in this world, including time, space, what to talk about the five material elements and the subtle elements, even time and space, which on which we have very limited control, okay, we have given some designations to the time. Strictly speaking, time has no meaning, isn't it? Anyone can understand that. If you think about time, hasn't got any meaning. We have imposed upon time certain calculations. So much time, because of mechanical arrangements or solid state transistor arrangement, whatever it is, the quartz or quartz crystal, whatever it is, we have created, we have learned to give some dimensions to time, isn't it? That's what time means, that we call it, so much time is 1 year. And then we say, oh, 12 months make 1 year. This is for our convenience, for our transactions in this world. It is called Vyavaharikam. Vyavaharikam means just to conduct the transactions in this world, we have given certain calculations in such a way that everyone could work together then. Otherwise it will be very difficult, isn't it? Suppose this time calculation didn't exist, then we will not be able to have a meeting here at 5 o'clock. Somebody will come at 4 o'clock, somebody will come at 6 o'clock. So how we can have a meeting? It's not possible. So that for these purposes, we have created this thing called the time, isn't it? The time is like that. 12 months make a year, and 4 weeks make a month, 4 weeks make a month, 7 days make a week, 24 hours make a day, 24 hours make a day, 60 minutes make an hour, and 60 seconds make a minute. Like this we have broken up the time, all these things. So if 60 seconds is making a minute, where is the first then? Who is the first? The second is there. Where is the first then? That's where the problem is. Problem is, the time has started from Krishna. Karmam and time, both are Krishna's control. Kalam and then also Desham. Space also. Similarly, the space also. So time has no meaning. It has meaningless thing, but for our convenience we have given a designation to time. That is all. And some calculations so that everyone could follow that basis. Otherwise, time is considered to be nirarthakam. It has no meaning. Just like many things in this world, we consider it as absolute, isn't it? Many people will say sometimes that sun is rising in the morning. Every morning sun rises and every evening sun sets. From that we take it that sunrise and sunset is a permanent factor in this world. We take it as absolute, isn't it? Anyone can say that sunrise and sunset is absolute. Because no matter what we do, that is going to happen every day. Under whatever conditions it is, sun will come in the morning and show his face to us, and evening he will leave us and go. So this is an established fact, sun rises and sunsets. But this sunrise and sunset is based on what? It's also subject to certain conditions, isn't it? For example, when you are in the earthly planet and look at the sun, all this is true. Sun is rising, sun is setting. But the moment you move yourself from the earthly planet to the sun planet and start looking from there, where is the sunrise and where is the sunset? It has no meaning again, isn't it? So similarly, everything in the relative world, what we call as the truth, strictly speaking, they are not truth. They are only vyavahariyam, only for our own transactional things, for our own convenience, we have made this as a factor to help us to conduct the business of this world. But they are not the truth. We shouldn't take all this as truth. The millions of planets, millions of universes, and all the planetary systems, they are all moving in a particular direction. We accept it that these are all absolute. Nothing is absolute. All of them are moving under the direction of what is called as karma. Including the planets, they are under the law of karma, they work. So, such is the powerful laws of Krishna, which controls the whole creation. And in these conditions, a very insignificant living entities like us, we are thinking we have mastered the nature. This is our understanding. We are thinking we have now mastered the nature. We know the laws of nature. We have found out the truth behind it. Never once we will understand the truth in this way. Never, never ever. It is not possible. Krishna is too big and Krishna's laws are too powerful that a very insignificant living entities like us will never understand Krishna's creation completely. It is not possible. It is not possible. Therefore, Krishna gives us the knowledge so that somehow or the other, with Krishna's mercy, and by following the process what Krishna has given to us, we may reach a level where we will understand the glories of Krishna. That is what we can do. That's why they said here, Abhyasa yoga yuktena chedasananyagamina paramam purusham divyam yadipartanu chindayan. It is such an important aspect of the spiritual life to understand oneself first. If we think that, oh, I've done that, why am I not getting the result? This is our way. We are thinking that everything what we should, the result should come straight away. What an ignorant understanding is that. You can imagine, suppose I have to take this watch from here with my hand. I took the watch with my hand. Now in that activity, who has actually kept me going this, doing this? In order that the hand to move, the hand requires the energy. The hand receives the energy, the nerves and the veins, the blood circulation, everything has to carry on in this body. And in the body, all that systems can only work if Krishna is present with him. Otherwise, the nervous system won't work, the blood won't flow, and things like kidneys, they don't function, the heart will not work, nothing will work in this world without Krishna behind it. You can see from that in everything behind it, Krishna says, I am the factor behind it. Standing behind, everything is supervised by Krishna. Krishna, this is the easiest way to understand that Krishna runs the business, not us. As long as we are thinking we are running the business, we are foolish. We don't understand how Krishna works. This is not very difficult. Ordinary people understand easily. Only when you get big degrees, then you don't understand. Then everything changes because we have got this degree, that's the problem. As soon as you don't get the degree, if you simply sit quiet and think about it, that this body is functioning because Krishna is situated within the body, he is allowing you to function. He says here, there is a beautiful explanation in the Bhagavad Gita about that. That Bhumi Rabana Lovayu Kammanur Buddhi Revaja Ahangaramidi Alma Bhinna Prakriti Rashtada. Krishna says, in this world what exists is nothing. There is only 8 things. 5 material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire. And then you have got mind, intelligence and false ego. These 8 things you mix up in whichever way you want it, in whichever mixture you want to form it. You get all these different names and forms what you find in this earthly planet. All the whole creation, in other words. That's all it is. It's such a strange mixture that Krishna has created. And according to Shastras, there is only 4 groups in that. Jarayajam, Svirajam, Andajam, like that. That is the way the living entity takes birth. Udbhijam. Jarayajam, Svirajam, Andajam and Udbhijam. Things which are born from the sweat, things which are born through the mother's belly, what it comes through, and from eggs, like that. So, these 4 things are classified. From the Shastram you will know that they have a different way of looking at things. They don't see things like the way we see things. We think that because we have got all this DNA, RNA and all that, we think we have got everything now. What a foolishness it is to speak in these things and completely deny the authority of Krishna. How foolish it is to say like this. When such knowledge is revealed in Bhagavad Gita and Krishna is talking to us directly, Krishna is saying to us, look, the 8 things what I have kept together, they are mixed up. And then mixed in different forms. That was, Krishna has given allotted that work to Brahma. Brahma, you do this and I'll be behind you, you can do it. And Brahma continued doing this creation. And Brahma admitted this to Narada Maharshi one stage. Narada Maharshi thought Brahma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Narada Maharshi, when he saw Brahma meditating one day, Narada asked Brahma, who are you meditating upon? I thought you are the Supreme Creator. I thought you must be the Supreme Lord. Brahma says, no, you completely misunderstood everything. I am only doing because somebody has shaken my hands once. That Sarga Shakti, the creative energy, has come to me when Krishna shook the hands with Brahma. It's in the Bhagavatam, you can read that. So Brahma did not get that power. Somebody who gave the power to Brahma. Krishna gave the power to Brahma to go continue with the creation. So from right from Brahma, right up to the lowest living entity, Krishna is present through all of them in some form or the other. And we, one of the 8.4 million, are thinking that we have got now the highest knowledge and we are situated in the highest platform and we know everything, and every time we get kicked also. And still we don't realize it, our ignorance. When one tsunami goes here, one Veta goes here, one Karina goes there, there is nothing you can do. All are looking at each other. The so-called great scientists and the great authorities. They have no choice. They have to accept it. This is what Krishna is saying. So Krishna is saying here that within these 8 components, 5 material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego, when they all mixed up together, some forms it has taken. Brahma has created that. And for different forms, different names have been given. Somebody is given a tiger, a lion, a cat or a dog or this, that and the other. Birds, plants, creepers, all kinds of varieties in 8.4 million different species. And the material elements themselves are present in this world in its pure form also. And Shastras are also saying how each material element was formed from Mahatattvam, how the origin it has happened. So if we read all these things, you will know, Krishna will explain there, that they are not important. These material elements and all these 8 components, they are not important at all. What is important is that powerful source behind it. If you make one circle, concentric many, many circles, give the name as the 5 material elements and the senses, the senses as the outside circle. Within that you have got another circle which is known as the mind, which is higher than the senses. And again if you make another circle inside, that is what is called the intelligence. And within that intelligence if you make another circle, that is within that somebody is there, and that is you, the soul. The soul is right in the middle of that. And it is around the soul all these different circles are formed. The first circle around the soul is the intelligence. Again outside circle is the mind. Again outside that circle is the senses. And outside that is the material elements. So normally what happens is, if you keep this picture in your mind of 4 or 5 circles, one inside the other, when we take birth in this body, when we have accepted this material body, and when we go through our so-called education of modern education of 10 to 12 years in the school and 4 or 5 years in the college, when you come out, you completely close the door which is open towards the inwards, and your door is open towards outwards. And that means from mental platform or intelligence it starts through the mind, through the senses, to the material elements and enjoying the senses outside. This is our civilization. Practically civilization is based on this. The moment we close the door outwards and open the door inwards and going towards inwards to reach the point which is known as the soul, that is when our spiritual life begins. So these two different processes, going externally, looking outwards, externally means bahirmukham. Bahirmukham means looking outwards, that's material life. Looking inwards, antarmukham, that is what is known as spiritual life. Going inwards to find out what we are. That thing what we are, we don't know. But we want to know everything else what is outside. This is what our problem is. And that is why when you read Bhagavad Gita, you are searching things which has no relevance to you. And this busy with these 8 things, what I mentioned, and in their mixture. That's what we are concerned about, isn't it? So Krishna is saying that is why Bhagavad Gita is a very subtle science, and also it's a very deeper science, more than looking outwards. Looking inwards is a more difficult thing. And that requires practice. Continuous practice. That is why it's mentioned, Abhyasa yoga yuktena chedasananyagamina paramam purusham divyam yadi parthanu chindayan. Now, there also you will notice there that the mind is always running towards sense objects. We all know that because nobody need to tell us that. It's our daily practice. And if it is in that position and we have no remembrance of Krishna, how is it possible that we will remember Krishna at the time of death? If whole life we have spent in manipulating material energy, where is the possibility, Krishna says, that you will remember me at the time of death? Krishna has already spoken in the earlier verses that if you don't think of me at the time of death, you come back again and continue with your material elements business again. There is no choice given there. So, in order to come out of this, influence of the material elements, one has no choice except to understand what Krishna says and to accept it without any questioning. And that's why he says here that one who has practiced this whole life of looking inwards and trying to understand one's identity, there is a possibility that he will remember at the time of death, Krishna says, me, and it will help you to go back home back to Krishna. If you do not do that, what will happen is, because whole lifetime we have spent our energy in enjoying the senses, which is called as Vishayasmarana. Vishayasmarana means trying to remember all that enjoyment we had in life. We have discussed this in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi that this thing called mind, how it enjoys and suffers based on the senses, isn't it? We talked about that. Chedakhalvasya bandhaya muktaye chalpanomadam guneshu saktam bandhaya radam vapumse muktaye Srimad Bhagavatam. Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, it's a very the complete essence of Lord, teachings of Lord Kapila is this verse. Chedakhalvasya bandhaya muktaye chalpanomadam. That if your chedas is attached to sense objects, then you are bound. You are not free from that. Once it disconnects from the sense objects and you are released from that, you get liberation automatically. So sense objects from one side is pulling you in one direction. Spiritual life is pulling you from the other direction, in the opposite way. Chedakhalvasya bandhaya muktaniye chalpmano madam guneshu saktam bandhaya radam vapum sinuktaye. If your attachment is towards the gunas, three modes of nature, if you develop that connection with the gunas, three modes of material nature, radam vapum sinuktaye, that you will not experience the freedom of the living entity, which is the spirit soul, has to break away from that link. And if one has practiced the sense gratification, simply always satisfying his belly and the other senses. We have, I have discussed before, five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. And shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham, which is sound, shabdam, sparsham, touch, rupam, form, rasam, taste, and smell, gandham. These are the five things, five senses of knowledge. When these five senses of knowledge are interacting with the sense objects, it gives a certain kind of happiness or distress to the mind. And this is the only activity what we are doing from morning to night in different forms, that's all. Sometimes we think, oh, I am spending my quality time with my quality family in a quality way, this, that and the other. There is no quality in all these things. It's all complete waste of time as far as the Krishna consciousness is concerned. We give these designations, superimpose all these things on our so-called understanding of quality. We don't even know what quality means, and then we give all this understanding. So, here Krishna is saying that this relationship you have to understand. That Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, exactly what Krishna is saying here. If you do not disconnect yourself from Vishaya Smarana, that means the sense objects and sense gratification. In other words, if the senses don't come under control, you will not remember Krishna at the time of death. That's why it is warned here in this verse, Abhyasam is required. Practice is required. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chedasananya gaminam paramam purusham divyam yadivarthanu chindayin. Now, how to do that? That is why different processes are discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. In this particular chapter, the Akshara Brahma Yogam process is discussed. In the sixth chapter, we found how the Dhyana Yoga process was discussed. Our process, devotee's process, is to chant Krishna's holy names. That is our process. We chant the holy names of Krishna. Simply by chanting Krishna's holy names, we get released from the material energy. That is the power of the holy name. That is Krishna's mercy. Don't ask why. Why chanting the holy name it happens. It happens, that's all. That Krishna releases the devotee when he is chanting his whole lifetime, calling for Krishna throughout life and continue a life based on the principles of Krishna consciousness. Krishna eventually tells him, okay, you have not done any Dhyana Yogam, you have not done any Akshara Brahma Yogam, you have not done any Yogam, but you are my devotee, so you can come with me. That's how Krishna takes the devotee. And because your life has been spent in chanting the holy names of Krishna, which is the most powerful in this age of Kali, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has confirmed that Ashleshava Padaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Marmahadam Karyoduva Yatha Tathava Vithata Vilambedo Matprana Nathastune Evanapara. Mahaprabhu says to Krishna, whether you embrace me or whether you kick me, it doesn't matter. For me, you are the only shelter. This is a devotee's consciousness. Devotee has to think like this. Ashleshava Padaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Marmahadam Karyotuva Yatha Tathava Vithata Vilambedo Matprana Nathastune Evanapara. So Mahaprabhu showed us the way. The easiest process in this age of Kali is to chant the holy names of Krishna. And if one continuously chants this holy name, eventually he will get released from this misconceptions or misunderstandings of the material world. Kavim Purana Manushasidaram Anoraniyam Anusasmaredyam Anusmaredyam Sarvasyadhadaram Ajindya Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasaparasal. As and when our memory of Krishna is fading away from our heart, as soon as Krishna's remembrance of Krishna goes away, sense objects will come in and take that position. We know about it, isn't it? How sense objects, how powerful they are, because that's what we are used to, and that's what will happen. As soon as memory of Krishna goes away, that sense objects will take, because mind has got one problem. Mind is, have you seen some people, they can't stand straight all the time. They'll have to hold on to something, either a wall. If you tell them, oh, why are you hanging on to this cupboard? They'll say, I'll move around the other side and hang on to the wall there. So all the time they have to hang on to something. The mind is exactly like that. If you tell the mind, okay, you can't have Krishna now, mind will go to sense gratification. There is no in-between situation without anything. You can't keep mind completely free from everything. That's not possible. But continuously by remembering Krishna, the possibility is that one will remember Krishna at the time of death and he will get freed from the material energy cycle of birth and death. But here, in this verse, it's saying there that even if when that breakdown happens, that one forgets Krishna, automatically one should be very, very careful, very alert to do what he has to do. What is that? That will be the time when you have to take the shelter of Krishna's holy names more than any other time. As soon as the mind is not getting attached to Krishna, you have to think yourself that I should be chanting the holy name more now, so that the mind goes back to Krishna again. So you can see what an easy process is chanting the holy name and how effective it is in keeping memory of Krishna in our heart. Kavim Puranam Anushasidaram Anuraniyam Anusmaredyam Sarvasyadadharam Ajindyarubam Aditya Varnam Samasaparasal. That Krishna is the, it is just to remember, to remind us how to remember Krishna. Krishna is actually the everything in this world. There is nothing in this world which is not connected to Krishna. And nothing can exist here. All the knowledge, illumination, everything is coming from there. Kavim Purana Manushasidaram, and he is also the smaller than the smallest. Even there, Krishna is present. Anoraniyam Mahado Mahiyam. Upanishad says like this, that in greater than the greatest thing, Krishna is present in that. The functioning is happening because of presence of Krishna. Smaller than the smallest, even in the slightest atom, Krishna is present there as well. So wherever you look in this world, throughout creation, what do you ultimately find is nothing but Krishna. But we don't recognize that. That is our problem. That we think all these names and different forms what we see in this world as the reality. And we do not want to accept another source behind it, that which is actually making this whole creation to function in this way. Anoraniyam hadomahiyam. In the Upanishads there is this statement. Sarvasyadadharam ajindyarubam aditya varnam tamasaparasthal. Krishna's that form is beyond our understanding of the mind and intelligence. Unless Krishna reveals himself to us, that form of Krishna is difficult for us to understand. Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parasal, it's effulgent like the sun and is beyond all the modes of nature, and it is transcendental form of Krishna. So why all this is explained in the Bhagavad Gita is, somehow or the other, imagining in our mind, thinking about that form of Krishna, the mind gets attracted and able to remember that form of Krishna continuously, which is what is actually expected and required.
Prayana gale manasa chalena bhakya yukto yoga balena chaiva bhruvor madhye pranamavesha samyak sadambaram purusham ubhayi divyam.
Very important words.
Prayana gale manasa chalena.
This is the verse where it says what happens at the time of death. Prayana gale. Prayana gale means when the soul leaves the body. At the time of leaving the body, the condition of the mind is a very critical thing, in which way the mind will go.
Prayana gale manasa chalena.
The mind will start chalanam. Chalanam means its movements. And at that time, people who have engaged their mind in the material activities throughout their life, I don't have to say what will happen. Do I? Anybody can guess. Suppose whole lifetime I was busy with my stocks and shares, and I was busy in earning money, and spent all life in doing this, thinking that this is the ultimate goal of life. What will happen? What will happen at that time? I know FTSE index will come in front of me. The index is going up and down, you will notice that. That is what will happen. That will be the result. You can't help it, because that's what you have done whole life. Isn't it? So Krishna says here, Prayana gale manasa chalena. How important it is, all these things are in spiritual life. We think that it is some story Krishna has manufactured. It is not a story. Krishna is telling us the blunt truth to us. If you want it, you take it, Krishna says. If you don't want it, you carry on with your experiments in the material energy.
Prayana gale manasa chalena.
The mind will start the movements at the time of death. And what will happen? The mind will start bringing back different memories of the life in this world. So, if the whole lifetime is spent in this way, in material activities, without caring for Krishna, without caring for chanting the holy name of Krishna, what will happen is not to be explained. But then, what is the alternative? Earlier days in life, it is sometimes very difficult for one to accept this reality. In the early days of life, it is very difficult sometimes. Because, as the living entity grows in a particular body, the different modes of nature takes control of him, particularly Rajogunam. And Rajogunam is very prominent in the teenager's life. That is when Rajogunam is at its peak. And that is why at that particular time in life, you want to challenge the whole world. Isn't it? The youth is such an age that at that particular time in life, you want to challenge everything. That's the time you say, oh, Bhagavad Gita, I don't want to accept this, all this knowledge is useless. I have scientists have found something better than this. All kinds of false conclusions will come at that time. So, even if at that time it has happened, Krishna's point is, okay, you have committed some mistake in previous life, doesn't matter. Earlier life something has happened. But now, have you come to your senses, at least at this point in time? This is the question. So some or the other, before that thing called death approaches, one has to become very serious about spiritual life. At least many years before leaving the body, one should prepare oneself for that thing called death. And if you have allowed sense gratification for a long period of time, it will be much more difficult to fight through that and bring the memories of Krishna consciousness so that one can remember Krishna. But if we don't practice it at this time, Krishna is saying here,
Prayana gale manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva bhruvor madhye pranamavesha samyak sadambaram purusham upaiti divyam.
That you will notice this at the time of death in a person, how the person's nature changes. If he is a devotee, practice Krishna consciousness seriously, at the time of death, his mind will become very full of concentrated nature. It will be very much fixed up. The mind will be fixed up. Egagrada. It is called Egagrada. Mind will not waver. It will not waver. It will become more and more serious
and he will know that he is leaving the body, and the remembrance thoughts of Krishna will be developed very strongly inside. This is guaranteed. Krishna says there, all this is nothing but practicing what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. So if one does like that, the chances are that he will remember Krishna. And in order to do that, Krishna has mentioned here, bhaktya yukto yoga balena jaiva. Through the process of bhakti, one can reach that stage very easily. There are other processes also. Dhyana yoga is also there. The yoga, very powerful yoga systems can help you to remember Krishna at the time of death. But if we don't do anything like this, we simply carry on with our own way of life, then what will happen? That's what it says there. That ruvo madhye pranamavesha samyak sadambaram purusham upaiti divyam. Jiva, the living entity, has to leave the body. And if he is prepared, this is what is called that preparation.
Yadaksharam veda vidho vadandi vishandi yadyadayo vidaraga yadichando brahmacharyam charandi tatevadam sangrahena pravakshyam.
The great the Vedantis, or the people who follow the Akshara Brahma Yogam, which we discuss the Om, they call it as the Akshara, the Akshara Brahma Yogam. Krishna is referred to as Akshara Om there. And that is this Pranava Upasana, or following this process. And it is the same goal, ultimately the sages who go through their Brahma Jnanam, cultivating the spiritual knowledge. They are also aiming at the same point. And for what purpose they execute all different kinds of austerities and penances, brahmacharyam and everything else, all this is only meant for that purpose. That even if one has lived a longer period of time in this world as materialist, at least a few, as soon as one can come out of it, one should come out and start practicing the process of Krishna consciousness, so that he has not lost his whole life in that way. That is the type of death what is expected. Prabhupada mentions in this connection, in his purport on these verses, if you look into the verse number, that the chapter 8, verse 8, you see the second paragraph there, very direct and straightforward instruction to us. Prabhupada says there, the devotees can constantly think of the object of worship, the Supreme Lord, in any of his features, Narayana, Krishna, Rama, etc., by chanting Hare Krishna. This practice will purify him, and at the end of his life, due to his constant chanting, he will be transferred to the kingdom of God. Yoga practice is a meditation on the super soul within. Similarly, by chanting Hare Krishna, one fixes his mind always on the Supreme Lord. Mind is fickle, and therefore it's necessary to engage the mind by force to think of Krishna. One example often given is that of the caterpillar that thinks of becoming a butterfly and so is transformed into a butterfly in the same life. Similarly, if we constantly think of Krishna, it is certain that at the end of our life, we shall have the same bodily constitution as Krishna. So, this is what it says in the Bhagavad Gita, that to make our life easier, this process of chanting has been recommended for this age. That alone will, we don't have to worry about this meditation process, all other processes. That is not required. It is a much simpler process to follow. And in the verse number 11, there also it is mentioned there, that the in the purport, Prabhupada explains there, that this Akshara Brahma Yogam, what we are discussing in this chapter, is meant for the impersonalist. It's their process. Prabhupada says there in the purport, for the impersonalist, the syllable Om is identical with Brahman. Krishna here explains the impersonal Brahman in which the renounced order of sages enter. So it is their process, although we know that the easiest process to approach for Krishna consciousness is a simpler process compared to all this complicated process of meditation and the Om, chanting of Om. They are not as easy as Krishna consciousness is. And in the next paragraph you will find, but there are several things which are common to everybody. Vedic system of knowledge, students from the very beginning are taught to vibrate Om and learn the ultimate impersonal Brahman by living with the spiritual master in complete celibacy. This is the training required. In this way, they realize two of Brahman's features. This practice is very essential for the student's advancement in spiritual life. But the moment such brahmachari or unmarried celibate, life is not at all possible. The social construction of the world has changed so much that there is no possibility of one's practicing celibacy from the beginning of student life. Throughout the world, there are many institutions for different departments of knowledge, but there is no recognized institution where students can be educated in the brahmachari principles. Unless one practices celibacy, advancement in spiritual life is very difficult. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has announced, according to scriptural injunctions for the age of Kali, that no process of realizing the Supreme is possible except the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, you can see our relationship for a devotee, how one can relate with these verses in the chapter. In this 8th chapter, what is discussed in the Akshara Brahma Yogam or the Omkaram, worship of Omkaram. But that process for us, for the devotees, is chanting the holy name of Krishna.
Sarvadvarani samyamya manohridyaniruddhya modhyahayatmanam pranam astido yoga dharanam omityegaksharam brahmam yaharan mamanusman yaprayadityajandeham sayadiparamam garim.
Then the difficulty in this process is you have to close all the 9 gates in the body. As you know, there are 9 gates in this body. Body is considered to be like a building. It is like a house where we are living. We entered into this body, the 2 eyes, the 2 ears, the 2 nostrils, mouth, and the 2 rectum and the genitals. So totally these 9 holes in the body. So these 9 holes in the body are actually they're only there and they have to be closed first. And sarvadvarani samyamyam, that is what Krishna says there.
Manohridi aniridhyajam,
and mind has to be absorbed. Mind should not be allowed to go wander around. We know how difficult all this process is. The process of meditation is not an easy process. It's a very, very difficult process. And sometimes, if you discuss meditation, gives you a lot of happiness to laugh at it, the whole modern meditation process. So many people are selling different meditation packages to people. And if you go and listen to some of them, you will wonder why on earth, one, when Krishna is standing right in front of you as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, instead of surrendering to Him and taking His shelter, why complicate the life so much with this? But then if that is what they want, what can you do? They have to accept, take it like that. So Krishna says here, control this, control that. It's controlled from beginning to end. Senses have to be controlled.
Sarvadvarani samyamana uhadyanirudhyaja mudhni adhatmananam astido yoga dharanam.
And then you have to pull the pranam all the way right up to the top of the head and hold it there. We can't even breathe properly. They want to talk about holding the whole pranam up. Some of them I have heard how they discuss this meditation process. I'm not saying that they are all wrong, but the practicality of following this is very, very difficult in this age of Kali. And instead of absorbing the mind in Krishna, if you absorb our mind in so many other objects of this world, at the time of death, what will happen? At the time of death, what will happen? We, following Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we are trying to depend on Krishna's mercy, and that is our asset, nothing else. By trying to please Krishna, by chanting the holy names, that is our process. So, if somehow or the other, if one has succeeded, Krishna is saying here, if you have succeeded in bringing the prana up here, and it breaks away the top of the head, and it breaks away, it will go through, and it will reach the top destination. Krishna is saying that it will happen. But these things cannot happen in an automatic way. It requires practice from the very, very early days in life. Abhyasam. Krishna says abhyasam is required, or practice is required in order to expect that to happen. Otherwise it's not, for others it's impossible. Now, all these samskar, all these different kinds of samskaram are spoken so that at the time of death one can remember Krishna. So, in order that if one wants to be successful,
one should start these things at a very early age in life. One should not leave that to the later day. If you think that at the old age, after retirement and all that, I will start my process of yoga, and then you will find some advertisement somewhere, start visiting the yoga classes, and they will also know that you can't do anything now. You have come at the age of 65 to practice yoga system after retirement. They also know that. Then they make the process simpler for you. They say like that. But there is no success after that. When you start, when you want to sit for even the sitting process for the yoga system, if you remember in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Dhyana Yoga was discussed, there is how Krishna has explained there how one should sit erect with the body in the erect straight position. And now one should close his eyes, focus is on the top of the nose, and able to hold in that form for quite a long time. In this, and Krishna also says there that one should be able to stay in a place where you are free from all other disturbances. So that is another requirement. The way you sit, how long you can sit quietly without being disturbed by other things. Another thing. Secondly, even if you have succeeded in doing all these things, as soon as you sit down and close your eyes, what will happen? Do I have to say? Because we have trained our eyes to do only one thing. What is that? To sleep. Isn't it? That's what happens. And 90% case, this is what will happen. The moment you close the eyes, the sleep will start. And then, all what you have learned now is that instead of lying down on the bed and sleeping, you can sit in Padmasana and sleep now, nicely. So, you know how many people I have spoken to, I have heard, their difficulties in practicing this meditation, what they are talking about. They can say all these things, that meditation is simple process, this, that and the other. I'm not saying process is correct, no doubt. But we have to also understand how practical all these things are in this world of in the life we are living today, where we are constantly battling to survive here. The material energy is so powerful that in the middle of all these things, we want to have a complicated process like that also. Klesho Atikadarastesham. Krishna says there in the Bhagavad Gita later on, Klesho Atikadarastesham Avyakta Sakta Chedasam Avyakta Higadir Dukham Dehavad Bhiravapyade. If you look at the 12th chapter, you will find this process is very, very difficult, Krishna says. All this jnanam, yogam and all that, they are very, very difficult processes for you. But the easiest process is chanting the holy names of Krishna. So that is what is discussed there. Meditation process, we are not saying that meditation process does not work. It does work. But practically speaking, the difficulty of practicing that meditation, to find a person who can help in that process of meditation, that is very, very rarely found. And the people who have succeeded in that process is also very, very rare. What will happen is, we have only got a limited time in this world. We haven't got a lot of time. And in that, we are trying to fit in some spiritual activity so that we feel that at the time of death, whether you are a yogi or a jnani or a bhakta, whatever it is, Krishna is saying, at the time of death, if you don't remember me, you are gone, you are finished. Nothing can happen after that. You can claim yourself to be anybody. You are the greatest Maharaja or greatest yogi, whatever it is. At the time of death, if you don't remember me, you have to go to another body. This is the terms and conditions. So, the fact is this, that if you take a process into practice, and when your own lifetime you are experiencing so many difficulties, it is possible that after practicing some of this yoga system, you may give it up at the end. Because you are not finding anything, getting anywhere. But bhakti process is so beautiful that simply once you pay obeisances to Krishna, Krishna says, I have accepted you. Namranam sannidhate. This is Krishna's position. You have come to Krishna, fall in front of him and pay your obeisances. Krishna, I have come to take your shelter. Krishna says, come to me. He doesn't want anything else from you. All he wants is you accept him, that Krishna is the master, I am your servant. Is it not a better process than all this meditating on the sun, on the sea, on the light and all this, that and the other? Namranam sannidhate. As soon as you surrender it to me, as soon as you pay your obeisances to me, sadadama viburantai anabhyarti dana pyarthan kamana jasram vidaradi paramananda sandram gatim cha. A devotee is coming to Krishna crying that I am having so many problems in this life. Nothing is working. Everything is going wrong. Everything going in the wrong direction. Krishna says, don't worry. All these things will go one day. So, for a devotee, Krishna is not only looking after his life after death, including his life in this world, Krishna takes care. Those devotees who have experienced Krishna will vouch for it. I don't have to say that. They know that by taking shelter of Krishna, they have gained and they have never lost anything. Namranam sannidhate satadam abhipurante anabhyartidanapyarthan kaman ajasram vidaradi paramananda sandram gatim cham. What all Krishna offers? Krishna offers everything, whatever desires you may have in this world. Either Krishna will fulfill the desire or Krishna will take the desire away. You are only suffering because of the desire, isn't it? Desire is the cause of all these problems. Strictly speaking, anyone who has come to this world knows very well that this so-called struggling for existence we have created ourselves. Is nobody else has forced it upon us. Because I have created so much material desires, I start thinking that I have to fulfill all these desires. If I don't fulfill this, I have failed in my mission in this world. With all this ignorance inside, I am trying to succeed in my mission of meeting the targets. And when I fail, I think that, oh, I have failed in my mission. I have not been successful. And Krishna is not very happy with me. And then you start saying that Krishna is not there. But Krishna says, these very desires that is sprouting in your heart are the problem. If the desires are not going away, Krishna says, I will take it away. If the desires go away, then you are freed, isn't it? Because the real happiness is inside, it's not outside. Our problem is, we are looking for happiness in different objects in this world. And never once we feel satisfied with the objects. Once you acquire one object, and then after some time you're fed up with it, you want something else. So Krishna is saying there, anabhyartidanarthan kamanajasram vidaradi. Krishna's position is like this. You have asked for something, I'll give you all that thing. Artham and kamam, these are the two things, isn't it? Everybody wants in this two worlds. Four things are there. Dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham. These are called purushartham. And the Mahabharatam is based on this principle. Purushartham is the basis on which Mahabharatam is written. If you read the commentaries on Mahabharatam, you will find Vedavyasa Maharshi gave a lot of importance to Mahabharatam of thing called dharma. Dharma, artha, kama, moksham. These are the topics that is covered in Mahabharatam. So, out of these four, dharma, artham, kamam and moksham, we want only 50% of that, isn't it? If you give 25% to each of that, we want in the middle 50%, artham and kamam. That is what we are all after. The other two things, if it comes, it's fine. If it doesn't come, it's okay. That is our attitude. Now, this is where the difficulty comes. Because, if you look into the four, dharma, artham, kamam and moksham, it begins with dharmam, isn't it? Dharmam is the basis on which all the other three things should happen. When you ignore dharmam and you simply run after artham and kamam, what will happen is disaster at the end. Total disaster. And that is what you are seeing day and night in this world. One who has run after arthakamam. Artham and kamam is our what we are looking for. And if you run after arthakamam, eventually it will misery at the end. That is known factor. Nobody need to tell us that. One who is running after artham and kamam, eventually the life will be a disaster and completely frustration at the end. So therefore, an intelligent person who comes to his senses thinks that at least shastras are telling us all these things. Why did the sages take time to put it down in the book so that they knew there is a group of people in Kali Yuga who will come and who are only concerned about these two things, artham and kamam. They are aware of that. That is why they told us clearly that if you ignore dharmam and moksha, those two, which are actually the more important ones than the middle two. This middle two are a temporary affair in relationship with the body. And if you give too much importance to that, then you have not understood anything, how to live in this world. So what it says, that in order that you to reach the last stage, moksham, or liberation from this material world, one has to follow these other three properly. Shastras are not saying not to have artham. Shastras are not saying not to have kamam. But they in itself are not the goal of life. They are only allowed so that to execute the other two, dharmam and moksham. To execute dharmam and also to work for liberation. So, in that process when we fail, what will happen is, arthan kama anajasram vidarati. When we go to Krishna, we don't talk, ask Krishna, give us some dharma, Krishna. We don't say to him, do we? Has anyone said to Krishna, Krishna, show me the dharma, what is to be done? Never heard once a prayer from anyone asking Krishna to show the direction of dharma. Dharma means which way to live in this world, what is right and what is wrong, isn't it? Discrimination between the right and the wrong, that is dharma. So that dharma, what nobody asks. What does we ask Krishna? Artham and kamam. These are the two things. Our list, if you check, even if there is 100 items, just like when you order items from the supermarkets on the internet, you list all the items, their prices are all given. You send the email or whatever that is to the supermarket, next man they comes delivering them in the in their van, Tesco and Sainsbury's, all of them do that. So Krishna is saying, okay, you give me the list, I'll have it delivered to you, you can have it. He says, artham and kamam, that's the only two things you can order with Krishna. The other two things, you have to work for it. But Krishna is saying, if you have come to me asking them, parama ananda sandram gadim ja. Krishna is saying there, even if you have come with that mentality to me, little by little I will change you. And one day you will realize that I am so stupid to go and ask Krishna for all these silly things in this world. Rather, let me look for the higher things in life, which is the liberation, freedom from this cycle of birth and death. So that mentality will come automatically by Krishna's mercy. So that is why, how good Krishna is. Actually, Krishna taught the marketing technique to all the supermarkets. Krishna told them, you buy two and you get the third free. And that is how Krishna, so good Krishna is. Every knowledge, Prabhupada used to say like this, don't think that anything exists outside Krishna. Even if there is some intelligence bringing new marketing products or new marketing technology, even that comes from Krishna. Even they can't do without Krishna's sanction. They can't do that. If Krishna has done this before, it is from them that they have got it. Because it's happened in this world before. Arthan kamana jasram vidaradi paramananda sandram gadinjam. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is based on this principle that all these yoga systems are discussed. So, if you go into verse number 14, ananyajeda sadadam yomam smaradi nityasha tasyaham sulabha partha nityayuktasya yoginam. That if you ask somebody that is it possible to stay away from the material world at the early age in life, we will say it is impossible to stay out of the material world. Because in the early ages, that one has no practice of spiritual life. One hasn't practiced spiritual life properly. He has not cultivated the necessary austerities and penances. Because as you see before, Prabhupada has explained here, how in Kali Yuga there is no training for anybody. No one has any training. Particularly the training in relation with celibacy, brahmacharyam, as it is mentioned. In the previous yugas, one who were fortunate to take birth in the Kritam Trayaraya Dwabaram, one had the good fortune that this culture existed in this world. Right from the beginning, people understood that the goal is getting out of this samsara material existence. That knowledge was freely available, number one. Number two, the way of life and the culture in this world was such, people had the desire to go for the ultimate goal of life, liberation, and the lifestyle was also favorable. In other words, things like brahmacharyam. Brahmacharyam is the most essential factor. And jnanis, yogis and karma yogis and all, they would not even accept one who is in a householder life to practice spiritual life. But in the bhakti process, even a devotee who is married, a householder, is allowed to practice the bhakti yoga process. And he is considered to be a brahmachari. He is considered to be a brahmachari so long as he is following the principles of brahmacharyam in the married life. That is the condition there. So, when we say brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastham and sannyasam, the four ashramams, we sometimes think that brahmachari life is only for brahmachari. No, it is not like that. Brahmachari life exists in all the four ashrams. Brahmachari has to follow Brahmacharyam. Grihastha also has to follow Brahmacharyam. Vanaprastha also has to follow Brahmacharyam. Sannyasi also has to follow Brahmacharyam. In all four ashramas, Brahmachari exists. We misunderstand that, oh, it's only Brahmachari. Oh, I finished my Brahmachari life. Now I can do, you know, householder is completely different. No, it's not like that. In Sannyasam ashram also, he has to follow Brahmacharyam. Brahmachari means one who is moving towards Brahman. That is the goal. Goal is Krishna. He is moving towards that direction. And whichever ashram you are situated, you still have to follow this process of Brahmacharyam life there. Brahmachari life is required. So, but that training is not there. Is not done anymore anywhere in this world. Very rarely, if you are very fortunate, you may get that instruction in the early life, that how important it is to cultivate this Brahmachari life. And when people do not have that understanding of the power of Brahmachari life and the value of Brahmachari life, what will happen? What will happen is what it is happening in this world today, that we start thinking that this is all unnatural. That is the first comment we bring in. This is all unnatural. Why they can't mix freely? Why they should not associate each other? And we start throwing questions. And we start, when Prabhupada spoke about Brahmachari life and the importance of separating man and woman in life with different roles in their life, he was not trying to project to make one superior or one inferior. That was not the goal behind it. The goal behind it was to elevate the human society from the animal platform to the human platform and further from there. That was the goal behind it. Prabhupada was not speaking from the air that this is all required for practicing Bhakti Yoga. These are practical requirements, or in other words, the necessities which are specified in the Vedic literature in order to advance in the spiritual path, to get the control of the mind and senses. These things are required. So, Acharya Swami says about this also, that kasvam koham kuta ayada kame janini kame dadam. Kasvam, you are you. Koham, who am I? Kasvam koham kuta ayada, where have you come from? Kame janini kame dada, who is your mother? Who is your father? Do you know any of these things? He says, like in the Bhajagovindam prayers, this is spoken like this, that if you do not know any of these things, what do you know then? He's saying, what do you know? You think you are considering yourself to be very learned. Like Krishna blasted Arjuna in the beginning for the same kind of displaying knowledge. That you don't know what you are. Kastvam, you are you. You don't know. Koham, who am I? You don't know. Kuda ayada, where have you come from? You don't know. You don't know where you're going. You don't know either that. And still, you are considering yourself, I'm very learned. Kame janini kome tadam, the yaduvadi vayo jiva vayo bhaya bibhyadi dasmin kayo. That even if you think that all these relatives and friends and souls have accumulated in my life, if they are all going to look after you at the time of death, Acharya Swami says, forget it. It's not going to happen. Why? He says, yaduvadi vayo jiva vayo bhaya bibhyadi dasmin kayo. Your own wife who has hugged you and kissed you throughout your life, saying how glorious you are. As soon as that spirit soul leaves that body and walks away, when she sees the dead body, she will turn her head the other way. She don't want to see that body anymore. Why? Because that spark inside, which is part and parcel of Krishna, has left that body once for all. So, out of illusion what we have created, yaduvadi vayo jiva vayo bhaya bibhyadi tasmin kayo. She will look at your that very body which she has embraced all her life and associate with. She will leave that body, doesn't want to know anything more about it. So this is the reality of this world. Bhagavad Gita is opening up our eyes to a lot of realities like this. Tatyaham salabha pata nityayuktasya yoginam. Then the purpose of a spiritual culture is to develop this firm conviction in our mind that the whole process of the practicing Krishna consciousness is to develop this yomam smaradi nityasham, that you will remember Krishna all the time in your mind. Tasyaham sulabha partha. Krishna says, if one is thinking about me all the time in life, there will be no problem. At the time of death, I will be there. Tasya aham sulabha patha. I am freely available for that person at the time of death. Nitya yukta se yoginaham. That one who has experienced one, what is happening in this life is, we are always thinking that we have a lot of freedom. Strictly speaking, we have very limited freedom. The prarabdha karma, that is keeping this body functioning. As soon as you accept the body, and from the very childhood, all falsities are injected into our mind. You can see that. For example, by the age of 4 or 5, the child is told about his birthday. How important it is to celebrate his birthday. Isn't it? And it starts from then on. Every year he is waiting for that, he or the boy or the girl. And he is waiting. But what is happening behind the scene, if you have thought about it, you know. Say, according to Prarabdham, you have a life of 80 years. 80 years lifetime you have got. Shastras are saying, for every birthday, keep counting down. Countdown can start. 80, 79, 78, 77, 76. Like that you start counting downwards. But what have you injected into the child's mind? You told him, look, you are such a great personality. You appeared in this world 2 years ago. You are 3 now, you are 4 now, you are 5 now. All illusion has been pumped into the child's head. Instead of giving the proper knowledge to the child, every day is actually getting closer to death. That is the reality. But on the other hand, we have informed them, we have informed the children and trained them up in this way that your 18th birthday is very important. It should be celebrated on the greatest scale. What to talk about the 40th? It should be a total festival itself for the whole world. Prabhupada used to say, by the age of 40 you are old. 50 is very old, he says. And if you get to 60, you should consider Krishna has shown you some mercy. You should take it like that. And every day we are seeing this. Our own friends and relatives and so many others leaving this world one after the other. And ask any one of them after 40, how many times they have visited the doctor. How many times they have to go to the dispensary or for the pharmacist or this or the other. So life is such a short affair. And in that short affair, so much illusion we have pumped into our head. This is our position. This is where we are. So Krishna is saying here that Prarabdham has already fixed your lifespan. Already this is all predetermined. You haven't got any freedom. Sometimes when the doctors try to make it up as though that they have such a big control on your death, and they spend millions and billions of pounds in creating all these facilities to, in the name of protecting the individual. On the other hand, if the same energy was spent in practicing Krishna consciousness, that person at least could leave this world in a proper way and go back home to Krishna. But illusion won't allow you. The Maya won't allow you to do that. This is the beauty of Maya. We are thinking that our mind and intelligence is superior. Maya is telling us how silly we are. This is how it is. Maya is teaching us every minute a lesson. Then you continue with your experiments, research, collect as much money as possible from the people, tax them heavily, maintain all your research establishments and carry on with it. And then eventually you also die and come to me. I'll take care of you after that. This is Maya's mood. So in this illusory energy functioning like this, Krishna is saying there that with Prarabdham controlling your life, you haven't got much freedom after that. Then even if the body is engaged in so many activities, the mind is more important than anything else. Body has to function in this world, because otherwise no living entity can carry out their life here. So even if the bodily functions are in different ways going on, at least the mind should get attached to Krishna. That is the goal of spiritual life. Somehow or the other, the mind is absorbed in Krishna. Mamavetya punarjanmam dukkhalayam ashashwadam matnumandi mahalpanam samsiddhim paramam gadaha. Krishna is saying here, mamavetya punarjanmam dukkhalayam ashashwadam. Krishna is giving certain description of our position in this world. Mamavetya punarjanmam dukkhalayam ashashwadam snapnivandi mahalpanam samsiddhim paramam gadaha. If somehow the other one has come to me, Krishna says here, if somehow the other one has succeeded in coming to me, punarjanmam dukhalayam ashashwadam, that he does not have to come back to this world. And how does Krishna refers to this earth planet, material world, as dukhalayam, place of miseries and distress, nothing but distress. That is all what we have got plenty. isn't it? That's all what we have plenty. Dukhalayam ashashvatam. Why is dukhalayam? Because it's also ashashvatam. It is temporary. It has no permanent situation, permanent experience. Anything here, what you experience is temporary. Just like happiness, distress is temporary. Happiness is also temporary. But because we are not very very reflective in our thoughts, we accepted this temporary situation as permanent and trying to find some little happiness in this world. So Krishna is saying here, Mamubetya punar janmam dukhalayam ashashvatam. One who has taken, come back to me. He does not have to come back to this situation once again. Natnuvandi mahalpanam samsiddhim paramam jadaha. That one who has such great souls who have followed this path, followed this route, they do not have to experience that distress once again.
Abhyamma bhuvanal lokaha punaravartino arjuna mamubetyadu kaundeya punarjanmana vidyade.
In order to open our eyes a little bit more, Krishna has spoken that verse. What is that?
Brahma bhuvana loga.
Right from the Brahma's planet, which is the supermost planet where Lord Brahma lives. Isn't it? You know how in the planetary system, how the different kinds of planetary system. We have the lower planetary system, middle planetary system and the upper planetary systems. That is how in the Puranas they are discussed. Now, if you know that the Bhulogam, Bhurlogam, Surlogam, these are known as the Karma Mandalam, within which the soul normally transmigrates, within these three planets, which is the middle planetary system. Once it goes beyond than that, above that, there is what is known as the Maharlogam. And that is, Maharlogam is the border between the middle planetary systems and the higher planetary systems. Once you have got to Maharlogam, the chances are that you may or may not come back to the middle planetary systems. Most probably you will go to the higher planetary system. But once you have gone to the higher planetary system, which is Janalogam, Tapalogam and Satyalogam, there is no possibility of coming back to this middle planetary system. But Krishna is saying here, even in that higher planetary system, there is a fear of death. There is a fear of death. If you ask Lord Brahma, who has the longest lifespan in this universe, even Brahma is fearful of death. What to speak about us? That you can see that in the Bhagavadam, when Brahma expresses his fear. At one point in the third canto, I think it is expressed there, that Brahma created all of us, isn't it? We created all of us. And when he created, he gave different lifespan for different living entities. For example, you can say dogs and all that. And some of those animals are given 12, 15 years life. The elephants and human society, they are all given around 100 to 125 years. And there are many other living entities, some trees and plants, they have given thousands of years lifespan. Brahma has given like that. So, different ways Brahma has created different living entities. So, from there, you may think that those living entities, like the trees and plants, if we think perhaps we could get a long span of life, but that type of life is not very attractive to us. To stand like a tree for thousands of years, that's not very attractive either. But then we start thinking, what is the best position in this creation? So ultimately thought about all that and came to understand that if I get the job of Brahma, it's not too bad. Because that job is also available. It's also available for anyone. One only thing, you may have to wait a long time. Not in this body, it may not happen. Because these things are decided by a superior authority. Krishna decides who should be Brahma next life. So, so when it comes to Brahma, is Brahma free from any of these problems? He is also not free from that. He is also saying that out of my life is 100 years, Brahma says. I am on my 51st year. So, in other words, he is also getting older. Isn't it? Brahma is getting older now. Once you cross 50, as I said before, you are old. So Brahma has realized now, he is also getting old. He is 51 years old now. That is where he is at the moment. It is in the third canto mentioned there. That so,
Brahma bhuvana loga punaravartino arjuna.
Right up to that place in Brahmalogam, one has to go through the different bodies.
Mamubetyadu kaundeya punarjanmana vidyadeyam.
Krishna says, if you come back to me, Arjuna, you don't have to come back again here and accept different bodies. This is the the essence, the message in that verse. ആ ബ്രഹ്മഭുവനാലോക പുനരാവർത്തിനോർജുന മാമുപേറ്റിതു കൗന്ദേയ പുനർജന്മാന വിദ്യതേ സഹസ്രയുഗ പര്യന്തം അഹര്യൽ ബ്രഹ്മണോ വിദു രാത്രിയുഗ സഹസ്രാന്തം തേഹോരാത്ര വിദോ ജനാഹ. Then what is the difference between us and Brahma? That is also, it is important to know. We have created what is, as I mentioned before, time. We have divided into months, years and all that. And Brahma also has divided his time in the same way. Only thing is, the time span we consider it as a month is not the same for Brahma. Brahma's month is a little longer than that. And a calculation of Brahma's life is given earlier in the Bhagavad Gita, that roughly you can say he lives about 4.3 trillion years. That's life, Brahma's lifespan. 4.3 trillion human years, you can call it like that. Human years is Brahma's life. So here, Krishna is saying here, Sahasra yuga varyandam aharyat brahmano vidu ratrim yuga sahasrandam teho ratra vidu janaha. That sahasra yugam, one chaturyugam and thousand such chaturyugam. One chaturyugam is kritam treda dwabaram kali. This makes one chaturyugam. Chaturyugam means that kaliyugam is 432,000. Twice that is dwabarayugam. Thrice of Kaliyugam is Tridayugam, and four times is Kridayugam. So if you add up all these things together, that is one Chaturyugam. Now thousands of such Chaturyugam. Sahasrayuga varyandam aharyat brahmano vidu. That is one day of Lord Brahma. So imagine that, how long that time is. Brahma is awake for a very, very, very long time. Sahasrayuga varyandam aharyat brahmano vidu. Ratrimyuga sahasrandam. And similarly, equal amount of time is Lord Brahma's night time. Teho ratra vidho janaham. So, like this, night and day, 365 days like this, imagine. 365 days like this. And Brahma lives for 100 such years. So, 1 year is 365 days of this, so many years, what Sahasrayugam as a day, and Sahasrayugam as a night. And so if you calculate, you will get to know that somewhere around 4.3 trillion years is life of Lord Brahma, who is the creator. And after that, Brahma also has to die. Brahma has to die after that. So from there, the message is, Krishna is saying here, Teho ratra vidho janaham sahasra yuga vairyandam aharyat brahmano vidhu ratrim yuga sahasrandam teho ratra vidho janaham. Then this difference between night and day is spoken for this reason only, that night time means basically tamogunam. That is the reason why it's mentioned like that. In other words, out of your 100 years life, say for example, we have got, say, 80 years lifetime, isn't it? 80 years. Take for example 80 years. In 80 years, more or less you can say that 40 years is lost in sleep. Yes or no?
Yes.
40 years is easily gone. For example, as a child, you will sleep more than 12 hours. Sometimes 16, 18 hours for a long time, few years. Then, as you grow up, when you find sleeping is a very interesting experience, you increase hours day by day. Then 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, getting up Saturday, Sunday. Rest of the days, if somebody pushes you out of the bed, you may go earlier than that. But otherwise, and old age, no, you don't have to stay anywhere. You have to go to any old age home and see many people sitting in the chair comfortably. Many of them are asleep. They are sleeping. Because they can't do anything. What can you do? The body is demanding that kind of sleep. So if you add up all these things, out of 80, 40 has gone for sleep. So then Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Kaumara ajarel prajna dharmam bhagavada aniha durlabham manushan janmam tadapyadhromarthadam yadahi purushasyeha vishnobhado vasarpanam. That childhood which is lost many years, because that time you have no sense what you are doing, you have been running around here, it simply wants to enjoy. That childhood has taken away another 10 or 15 years in that way, and by the time you grew up and became a young man or a young woman, whatever it is, what is the next thing? You want to enjoy life for some time. So that enjoyment process takes away most of the time. So out of the 80, if you deduct all these things, what is actually left behind? What is left behind? Strictly speaking, there is not much left behind. That then, it is then that we are talking about spiritual life, talking about it at that time. So, theoretically all this is spoken to wake us up to the reality that if one does not take spiritual life, as soon as one comes to know that Krishna consciousness is an important thing in life and it has to be taken very seriously. That's why all these things are spoken here. That, and also, it's important to know that there is a devastation. Nityam, Naimittikam, Atyantikam, Pragadam. There are four kinds of devastations mentioned in the Bhagavadam later. These more important information you can find in the Bhagavadam a lot more. About in the 12th kind of Bhagavadam you will find the different kinds of devastations. When happens, how it happens, and the time span involved in that. So after every devastation, there is again creation happens, and there are partial devastations, complete devastations, all these things are discussed there. So, the living entity,
Abhyakta Dattaya Sarva Prabhandyaharagami Tatriyagami Praliyande Ratraiva Abhyakta Samyagain.
That when we look at from our point of view in this particular body, when you try to see something, you will notice every living entity has come from some unknown object. It has manifested in this world. Can anybody say that one particular living entity's background, where he has come from? You don't know that, do you? None of us know about it. Why? Because in this verse you can see what Krishna says.
Avyakta Avyaktaya Sarva Prabhavandyagara Agamim.
All the names and forms what you are seeing in this world is nothing but some way it has manifested in this world. All we know about every living entity is when it has got a particular form in this world. That's all you know about the living entity. You don't know anything about the history of that living entity prior to accepting this body. You don't know. So, your knowledge about a particular living entity is very, very limited. That's why Krishna is saying,
Avyakta Advyaktaya Sarvam Prabhavandi Aharagame Vyatriagame Murliyande Tatraya Vyakta Samyagame.
And when he accepts this body, a particular body, the spirit soul is shining through that body for a particular amount of time. And as soon as the spirit soul is withdrawn, that particular manifestation is over. It doesn't exist anymore. It is finished at that point, which is a very short period of time in this world. And we, out of ignorance, taking that this particular form that spirit soul has accepted is everything. And we are identifying with that in different forms as relatives, friends, this and the other, and interact with that and finds great happiness in that. But Krishna is saying, please try to understand, he says,
Ryatriyagami praliyande tatraya vyakta samyagam.
When the time is over, where the living entity is going, that also you're not aware of it. What destiny it has gone and which direction it's going to go. You have no knowledge about it. So, in the middle, something you have seen and you have accepted that as the reality. Shastras are saying, what that is existing in the beginning, what that exists at the end, only that can exist in the middle also. Nothing else can exist. What is present in the beginning and what is present in the end, that alone can exist in the middle also. But what we have done is, we have given importance to what exists in the middle and completely, because out of helplessness, have not given any importance to the beginning or to the end. On the other hand, strictly speaking, our inquiry should be, when did this journey begin in this world? When is this going to come to an end? These should be the important questions. Rather than worrying about the 60, 70 years in this temporary material body, that's what Krishna is saying here. That in order to make us aware that the living entity does not die with that body and does not finish. And that is why, as I mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita in the beginning, why Krishna spoke so strongly in the first verses.
Jadasya hi dhruvo mrityu, dhruvam janma mrdasyaya, tasmadamariharyate, natvam shojitum arhasi.
Krishna says there, that one who is born, he has to die. And one who is dead, he has to be born again. Why do you lament about this? Krishna says to Arjuna, isn't it? In the second chapter. Why did Krishna say like that? Because this lamentation is what goes on in this world of the birth and death. Nothing else. When somebody is born, we are smiling. When somebody is dead, we are crying. That's all.
Jadasya hi dhruvo mrityu, dhruvam janma mrdasya ja, tasmad abariharyarthe natvam shojitum arhasi.
Then Krishna says to Arjuna, this is abhiharyam, this is unavoidable, this cannot be changed, these are laws which is related to material nature. I have created it like that. Natvam shojitum arhasi, no point in lamenting about it and suffering because of that. This is how Krishna has spoken about that. Then, and what do we do? This little time what we have got here, we will engage in all kinds of sinful activities. And we'll make sure that we have many more material bodies to follow up. So this is what it is. That is why shastras are necessary, in order to warn us that if you act in a particular way, what the reaction will be. And if you act in the proper way, what you can get out of this human life. Brahma, when he created this human body, he found a great satisfaction. It says in the Bhagavatam like that. He found a great satisfaction because when he created all the other living entities, some of them were annamayam, some of them were pranamayam, some of them were manomayam, some of them were vijnanamayam, some of them were anandamayam. He did not find anybody who has all these different sheets in one body, and that is human body. Human body has got all these different sheets in that. It's annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam. Yogis divide the body in these different ways. Now what does it mean? It means that Brahma found out that this living entity called a human being has got the capacity to work for liberation. To work for liberation from the cycle of birth and death. In the heavenly planets, they cannot work for liberation. Do you know why? The reason for that is they are so absorbed in their enjoyment. The mind won't drag them make them think about liberation. Just busy with the enjoyment. That is the heavenly world. In the lower planets, which is Satugunam, in a mode of Satugunam, they are doing that. Not the kind of sense gratification we are talking about here. That's not what I'm saying. Heavenly planets' enjoyment standard is so higher in the mode of goodness that their mind won't turn into the process of getting out of the cycle of birth and death. That's the problem. If you go into the lower planetary systems, the living entities in the lower planetary systems are such, if you read the fifth canto, you will find there, it is discussed there, what kind of life they lead, always in tamogunam. Always in tamogunam. Tamogunam means they are just satisfied with what it is, what they have got. They are just satisfied with it. They don't want anything. They don't want any change. Like all those different kinds of snakes and different living entities, what is discussed, who live in the lower Pradhala Lokam and other planetary systems, that is their life. And they live a very, very, very long time in that body. Imagine in the body of a great snake in the Pradhala Lokam for hundreds and thousands of years, satisfied with the lifestyle, what one has got there. There is no possibility there also for self-realization. So in the higher planets, there is no opportunity. In the lower planets also, there is no opportunity. But in the middle planets, earthly planet, we have a possibility. Krishna says there that this human body is capable, if given proper training, and if proper endeavor is put into it, he can come out of this difficult situation. So that is what is discussed there. That when the different Bhudagrama Sayavayam Bhutva Bhutva Praliyade Ryatriagame Vashapartha Prabhavandyaharagame, that what is actually causing all these things, this continuous cycle, how does it work? How does it happen? Bhutva Bhutva Praliyade. Again and again it is happening that constantly this process, everything comes into existence, exists for some time, eventually it perishes. Again it comes up, again it comes into existence. Like this constantly, this cycle is going on in the creation, isn't it? Bhutva Bhutva Praliyade. So Krishna is saying here, Bhudagrama Sayavayam Bhutva Bhutva Praliyade Ryatri Agame Vashapartha Prabhavati Aharagame. Then the true cause of behind all these things is, as we mentioned before, avyaktam. Avyaktam means it is unknown, impersonal entity. And what is that? It's maya. That is what is called maya. All these things have been very deeply thought about by the great souls. They have understood all this. Because of their deep realization, they were able to see the truth behind it. And that is why they are able to tell us so clearly that Maya, from Maya all this has come. Three modes of material nature has come. Matatvam, Maya. From Maya, the Trigunams have come. The three modes of material nature. They start mixing each other. And then from that, from Satvya Ahangaram, Rajasa Ahangaram, Tamasa Ahangaram, that has come. These are all in the third canto of Bhagavatam. How different stages of development. And then the five material elements were born. Their tanmatras were born. And then the mind intelligence, they were created. So eventually what we are finding here in this world is different names and forms what you have given to them only based on what Maya has created. What Maya has created. So unless one learn from the Shastram and understand that behind all these things there is that bulb which is Krishna, which is what is actually activating the whole thing through Maya and from Maya onwards the rest of it. Just like you can see that these different forms, Krishna says, I have nothing to do with it. In often you will find the statement from Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is sometimes very confusing also this way. That's because the way the language of Bhagavad Gita is such that often you will not understand because of a lack of that transcendental understanding. For example, Krishna says in many places, in the third chapter also you will find that I am behind everything, but I am away from that. Isn't it? You must have read that in many places, Krishna saying like this. That all these things have come from me, but I have nothing to do with it. When somebody says like that, what does it mean? That question also comes, isn't it? That question also comes. This can be understood in a different way. Just like if you have noticed that, suppose there is a lamp, and in front of that lamp, for example, in the olden days, now we have got all these psychedelic lights arrangements, isn't it? Which flicks very nicely as and when you want. Like on a drama stage, you can change the light any time with the help of these psychedelic arrangements. But in the olden days, before all these things have come up, developed, what they used to do was, they used to have a circular disc. And it used to have many different colors on that. And if you roll this disc in front of a bulb, different lights will come through that to the stage. So when the drama is going on, if you want to change the color, that's what the system they used to have. In the olden days, that's what the system was. That's the technology allowed them to have it. So this system used to exist. So Krishna's presence in this world is like that. Behind that, the bulb is Krishna. But when Krishna comes through different colors of color paper within this disc, different kinds of lights are coming through that, isn't it? So similarly, Krishna, who is actually situated within us, and we part and parcel of Krishna, we are all different in our activities. How these differences come? Differences come not because Krishna is different inside us, but when Krishna went through these lights, he changed the color. When this part and parcel of Krishna came through the modes of nature, it changed its color. You see? That is why these differences have come. One has become one nature, another person has become another nature, a third one has become a different nature. All this diversity, all these differences have happened in the living entity only because of going through these three modes of material nature. As soon as the three modes of material nature, this living entity, but our, strictly speaking, our original identity is nothing to do with all these things. We are servants of Krishna. Our relationship is with Krishna, not with these three colors. Passion, ignorance and goodness. These are the three lights in that, through which we come through. As soon as we come through, we become different living entities of this world. Somebody becomes a man, somebody becomes a woman, somebody becomes an animal, somebody becomes a tree, somebody becomes a plant. All this has happened because these three colors have changed when it came through that. But the moment the spirit soul realizes, my duty is not to go through that, rather look back to the bulb, the source, and start bringing that, developing that relationship with that bulb, Krishna, then his spiritual life begins. And that is what the whole science of Bhagavad Gita is about. How to link ourselves with the source where we came from. Not to go away from the source and try to destroy ourselves. If you want to destroy, you don't have to refer to Bhagavad Gita. The mind will give you all the proper direction. But the moment you realize it, that who am I, this question, if it is bothering you, who am I, and which I think that is one, what one should know first, before we find out who others are. Others are, you can find out later. The answer in the Bhagavad Gita is, if you know who you are, then you know who others are as well. You don't have to individually search for that. Because you do not know who you are at the moment, Bhagavad Gita has given us that knowledge through in the different yoga processes. And what Krishna is saying here is this, that if you practice this process of Krishna consciousness, one day you will understand, and that is called religion. Nothing else is religion in this world. Everything else is hodgepodge. That is simply wasting time. Rather, you may enjoy your senses, engaging in all other ritualistic spiritual activities, which does not bring ultimately the true identity of the soul and its relationship with Krishna. When one understands his true identity as spirit soul, and when one understands his relationship with Krishna, that is the perfection of spiritual life. I'll stop there. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.